This is the Creative Sports Podcast. Darius is here to lead a conversation with women's and men's NCAA basketball team creatives. They talk about challenges this season, living in the bubble for the tournament, the disparities between the two tournaments, and how they expect this season to impact the future.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
All right, we are joined today by some content creators who had a chance to spend some time in the NCAA championship bubbles. We have Linnea Phillips, we have Johnny Rondazzo, we have Dylan Johnson, and Darren Cowles. So first, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on the Sports Creators podcast. So we'll start with Linnea. Kind of give us a brief background of who you are, what you do, and what you were doing in the bubble.
Yeah, so thank you for having me. My name is Linnea Phillips. I'm the director of digital and social media at Indiana. Basically a long way of saying that I tweet for a living. And so we had a really unique setup for Indiana during the tournament situation. So I actually wasn't in the bubble with our women's basketball team, but we were able to work out kind of a strategy, a plan to get content from the bubble. We worked really closely with the digital content creator who works with women's basketball. He basically learned to shoot on the fly, and we were able to kind of deliver and you know, cut things together and deliver content that way. So I'm excited to talk more about that setup, and thanks for having me today.
Awesome. Look forward to diving into that that setup. Johnny, give us a little bit of, about who you are.
Yeah, I'm Johnny Rondazzo. Also, thanks for having me on this. Super cool. And just I'm originally from Stillwater, Minnesota. Went to school out in Montana State. Got hired at Oregon State 2 years ago for their men's basketball program. So I was in Las Vegas with them working the championship conference tournament, and then was in the bubble with them as well, doing both video and photo content for them and kind of distributing it out back to Corvallis for people to tweet out and post on our socials.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. Darren, introduce yourself. Give us a little background about who you are.
Hi, everyone. Darren Cowles. I am the senior video producer and the lead video content producer for women's basketball here at Texas. Before coming to Texas, I was at the University of South Florida for about 4 years. Had a plethora of jobs there. It's hard to really encapsulate that all into digestible bits there, but was with women's basketball inside the bubble the entire time, as well as the Big 12 conference tournament bubble too. So kind of jumping from bubble to bubble. So I know that could kind of get on a lot of people after a little while, but we will dive into that. It was a fun experience, but it's one that I'm happy to be back in my own bed.
And finally, probably one of the most unique of the four guests, Dylan Johnson. Give us your background, where you are, and your experience of the NCAA tournament.
Cool. So, again, thanks for having me on here. This is a really cool experience for me. I'm Dylan Johnson. I am a content creator at Northwest Missouri State University. I will be graduating in May 7th to be exact. And I was in the bubble with the men's basketball team while they went to the Elite Eight and the national championship. I kind of just bounce around to all sports here as I'm just, you know, a student aspiring to do this full time. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to start with you because you were, correct me if I'm wrong, you Division II, right?
Yes.
Champions or championship that you were experiencing. Talk about that from a student perspective. I'm sure all of us spend some time as students, probably not as fortunate as you to travel with the team on that large of a scale, but like, How did, you know, what was that feeling like for you?
At first I was really nervous because this is my first time ever traveling with any team. I traveled with the women's and men's during the regular season, but as far as tournament time, it was just, everything was new. I really had a strong respect for the players as to how they also got their schoolwork done off the court when they're not in practice and watching film, because I had to do the exact same things. Just a lot of communication that had to be done between teachers and students. And then, you know, outside of the classroom, it was just filming everything. Very little sleep. I still haven't caught up on my sleep yet, but I'll probably get there this weekend. And it was, I'm still on cloud nine right now. I'm still just trying to process that I filmed a championship game. I can cross that off my bucket list now, and, you know, we'll just move forward to see what happens next.
Awesome. And we'll stick to men's basketball for a second. Johnny, you guys had a pretty good run the last couple weeks. You won the Pac-12 championship and found yourself on a nice little run for a while in the NCAA tournament. Talk about those last couple weeks and how you were able to capture and produce some great content.
Yeah, so like I said, we started out in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 championship and got a first round bye and had a pretty tough game against UCLA. Made a run in the second half and ended up winning in overtime, and then kind of just, I think, rode off that momentum all the way to the championship. And I, same thing with Dylan, just kind of crossed off my bucket list, you know, being able to shoot a championship game. And, you know, there's nothing like that confetti falling. I mean, it was something very surreal to see, and just super happy for the guys and grateful to be a part of the team, honestly. It was a lot to handle, to be honest. We weren't really expecting that fully coming in, but I think, you know, I had a lot of teammates back here in Corvallis that were helping me out, making sure I was getting stuff out and enough content for it. But other than that, I mean, we celebrated for about that night. It was a very quick turnaround though. Woke up the next morning about 7 o'clock, got our COVID test, straight to Indy, to the bubble. So it was a quick turnaround for all the guys. That's a 5-hour flight. So we were pretty dead by the time we got in there and had to do selection show. But I think once I actually got in that bubble, it was a little more easier to center your focus on something and be like, okay, we just got to get ready for these games and get stuff out in between them. And then obviously all the post game stuff if we won, but it became a pretty regimented schedule, I would say. First two rounds, it was kind of like get the in-between stuff, you know, day in the life bubble content out, photos of practice, and then, you know, just wait for those games. And I think, you know, we were grateful for every win that we got. So I think, you know, just showing that celebration and the guys having fun out there to our fans was kind of our biggest motive video-wise post-game. So we did a lot of that stuff. But yeah, it was a crazy run and a crazy experience. Like I said, I think it did help me a lot just being trapped in that bubble, though, to kind of center my focus on the content and really hone in on certain things we wanted to do. But yeah, I was just super grateful to be there. And it was, I mean, it was an experience like no other. And I was just happy enough to be there, be able to capture it for the guys.
That's awesome. All right. Now we're going to touch on as we turn to Linnea and Darren. You guys had to face a little controversy starting off this tournament with the, you know, the discrepancies between what the men had, what the women had, the setup and all that. Just kind of give us a little background of what was happening behind the scenes as you all, you know, Linnea, as you're trying to do damage control from a posting standpoint, and Darren, as you're trying to capture, you know, all the content that you can on the grounds in the bubble.
I guess I'll go first. So we kind of had a unique position where quote unquote creatives weren't actually on the trip. And so I have to give a shout out to our digital media content manager for women's basketball. His name is Mike Pruden. Usually he does a lot of internal stuff, recruiting related stuff, alumni relations. And he had to learn, you know, how to be our external guy kind of on the fly. Like he had to learn how to shoot, how to send his footage back. And so shout out to him. He did a lot of our video work in-game, and then, of course, like celebration-related stuff in the locker room, post-games. And then shout-out to our women's basketball SID. Her name is Megan Cramper. She basically became a photographer during her time in the bubble, and so they were able to kind of be our eyes and ears on the ground, but then send their content back to us where we were able to disseminate it. So touching on the bit of controversy that happened with the women's basketball tournament, we kind of came from the position that our coach was basically on record as saying, you know, whatever adversities they were facing within the bubble, whatever discrepancies there were between the men's and women's tournament didn't affect us as a program. We kind of just, you know, eyes on the prize, stay focused, stay the course, you know, what have you. And so we kind of took that narrative and stuck with that. You know, we didn't really talk a whole lot about the weight room. We didn't talk about, you know, the glaring differences, you know, between the two tournaments. We were there to win, right? And so she kind of focused us in that way, which I really appreciate. And so a lot of the things that we kind of focused on were making hype videos. So we had a couple hype videos go out. I got to shout out my video guy, Andrew Brown. He did a really great job with kind of storytelling, the longer form pieces of it. And so we had one hype video go out before, I believe it was before our first game. And it was actually narrated by, we lost one senior between the COVID team and this year's team. So the one senior who wasn't able to kind of, you know, finish her business on the court, she narrated our first one. And then we had another one, an IU alumnus, Sage Steele, was actually able to do a voiceover for us there. So I think we were able to kind of turn a negative and make it positive and just say, you know, whatever's happening within this really strange situation within this bubble, we're going to use that to fuel our success.
That's awesome. Actually got a chance to, you know, see your team last year as you guys put us out of the tournament. Sore subject. As we move to Darren. You guys had an interesting season. New coach, you know, coming into the season, having lost a lot of firepower in that team. Had some really great moments this season and, you know, were able to, you know, kind of put it together in the tournament. Talk about your experience in the women's bubble, actually in San Antonio.
Yeah, I'll first even say too, going into this season, I knew it was even going to be tough even on me before we even got to the bubble, because this was, as I recall, this was the first time I'd ran with a basketball team an entire year, whether it be home and away games. So by the time that we kind of got to the end of the season, we got to the Big 12 tournament, we kind of got trained on the bubble in that way. But then once we got to the NCAA tournament, that's a whole other beast. That's you're not necessarily on lockdown the entire time, but your every movement is being watched. It's, hey, here's the floor of the hotel that you all are on, and that's all you can do. And you're getting, between that and getting the police escorts to get to venues and just having your every movement, and even people crossing the street by you are being held back just to wait for the teams to get passed by. It's like little things like that. They're like, okay, this is different from every year. And like, you're never going to have this kind of experience again. And that's before the ball is even touching the court. There's not many times that you're going to be just walking everywhere and fans are having to take pictures of your team like 15 feet away, and you can't really interact with your fans that have been at your venues, whether the capacity that you've had, but you can't really say anything to them. But it's the same people that you've been able to talk to at your own venue. So going into that was even weird. And to even go behind all of like the controversies that were going on, I felt bad for the teams. It's one of those things that you see, and you see the power of what social media does. This is something that maybe 10, 15 years ago, probably something like this could have been happening. But now with the power of social, everyone is on their phones immediately. And if it's not the players on their phone, it's the strength coaches, it's the head coaches. We saw the power of like Dawn Saley, what she was able to put out and just say like, hey, this is just unfair for not only the women that are on these teams, but to say like, hey, both men and women are in the same NCAA tournaments. Why can't they all be treated fairly for this? So I felt bad for the players. I know they had some of their own comments with me. And then once they did upgrade the venues, it was still kind of like all right, this helped go a certain distance, but it still stung that it took a social media outpouring to even get to that point. On top of that, and like the swag bags, that's another whole ordeal. I know for me, I'm just appreciative of the things that we get to do with teams and whatever they may come about it. But to even get a swag bag, and even when I was looking into it, I'm like, this is like, it's kind of laughable at some of the things that were in there, but I'm like, this is what things are getting boiled down to, that I'm just like, all right, well, this will take care of itself. Focus on the game, on the court, and let that speak for you. Everyone else will handle everything else. So the NCAA bubble was something. This was something else. And again, it's something that you just can't easily forget, no matter whether you're on the men's side or the women's.
Well, Darren, if it makes you feel any better, all the trips that I took for the NCAA tournament, I never got a swag bag.
If you really want it, in my swag bag, there's an NCAA tournament scrunchie. So if you really want that, I have that for you.
You can probably tell that I have the hair for a scrunchie. Your team was able to pull together a couple of good wins and kind of advance probably further than a lot of people gave you credit for, you know, before the tournament started. But talk about that. How were things? Usually you have to travel after the second weekend. There's a second weekend of the tournament. First weekend's always hosted on campuses, 16 campuses with a number of teams, but not having to travel. Talk about that.
Yeah, we also had the benefit too that the Final Four and everything was going to be in San Antonio. So we had an hour and a half bus ride to get an entire team down to that area. Whereas I know other teams, no matter what spot they were in, you're flying back or you're flying into the air. So we were fortunate for that. And to touch on what Darius said, the way that our team fought throughout the whole year, like our whole team motto was Texas Fight. So going into it, I knew that like if the team performs the way that they should, they're going to make a deep run and no one's going to see it coming. And lo and behold, no one saw it coming. We end up being the lowest seed to advance to the Elite Eight. And what I was able to do during that was focus on our coach, Vic Schaefer. He is a very, very well-spoken in terms of team camaraderie and like a team speech. So I've learned now that at the end of a game, whether it's a hard-fought game, to jump into the huddle as fast as I can, because he's going to grab the players and say something really good. And that stuff is really what's resonating with our fans more than ever. We saw a jump in all of our numbers by the time we got to the NCAA tournament, just like I think most other teams see once they make a deep run. But a lot of fans, you start to cling on to what our head coaches say. Even if it's between that and what your players will say too, even after a tough game. I know once we played Maryland, and that was probably easily one of my top three favorite basketball games I've ever been a part of, just in terms of overall play between not only Texas, but with Maryland too. It was just a hard fought game till the very end. But then to be able to capture the actual raw emotion from your team, that will do far better than anything else that you can put into producing. No matter how many effects you can put into a video, no matter how many transitions, raw, pure emotion will always resonate with fans more than anything else. That kind of access can never be replicated. And once it's gone, it's gone. And that's kind of what happens in the NCAA tournament. You capture it when you get the wins. And unfortunately, when your team is defeated or is brought down, you capture those and just relish those moments that like, hey, this was an amazing time. Now we can keep building on this.
Don't make me cry. switching back over to Johnny and Dylan, back on the men's side, two different tournaments. But just talk about, now that both of your seasons are over, like the highest point of like never wanting these moments to end. Like, was there ever a time that you guys wanted like, hey, I wish this could last forever? Or were you ready to, you know, kind of get home and get in your own bed?
I definitely didn't want it to end, just because this was my first time ever traveling with the team. And my first love has always been basketball, and I love to film and tell the stories of a team. So I never wanted it to end. Then again, those bus rides were super long, and I was definitely dreading those. But the experiences that I've had with this tournament and with this team alone, with these guys, is things that, you know, 10 years from now, we can still talk about, not just because it's on film, but just because we were there and we experienced it. And, you know, we were limited to such a tight space that you just kind of had no choice but to get to know each other better on a deeper level. So I never wanted that to end.
Yeah. And I can go, I mean, obviously our team didn't win it all like Dylan, so we kind of had to see it end in a different way. But I think, yeah, when you're in the moment, I think you're kind of just trying to do as much as you can to capture for the guys so that, you know, they can remember it in a certain way. But also, like, you personally, you kind of want to take in everything, because in this line of business, it's just really tough to determine if you're ever going to go back or not. You know, sports are just crazy like that. But I would say probably after the first two rounds, I started to realize, like, okay, this is something a little bit different than what I've normally got to experience. And this is a lot bigger than just the moment itself. Like, this is not only history for our program and this coaching staff, like, this is a big turning point in our program where, you know, the future could be totally different because of this. And I think just off that, I started capturing more, like Darren was saying, the raw emotion, the stuff from the coaches, you know, really trying to relate with the fans and stuff that, you know, this team can carry on, you know, whether it be 5 years down the road, if I'm here or not, they can take all that stuff and use it for the benefit and use it for the team. So I think there was a certain point, probably, or, you know, two and a half weeks into the tournament where I was, you know, kind of getting a little bit over the bubble life. But it's, you know, it's really hard when you're winning and the vibes are high and you're kind of just riding off the wave and the momentum of these, you know, these guys. They have so much energy, no matter how much stuff they're going through at school, you know, playing games within a 2-day radius, you know, you're just riding off their energy. And, you know, if they're having a good time, you know, it's pretty hard to not have that same feeling.
That's a good point. The NCAA tournament, I mean, obviously you guys won the Pac-12 and we're probably coming in off of a natural high of winning in a, you know, a championship. But what was that, like, turn down time? Like, was it immediately when you got on the plane, or like, talk about those last few days going into the tournament?
Yeah. So like I said, we left pretty early. We had a night game too, you know, Pac-12 stuff. You play really late at night. So we stayed up pretty late that night. Guys, they just couldn't go to bed. I'm assuming we're all in the same hallway. So I heard them all the way up till all hours. But I think, you know, you get on that plane and it's a 5-hour plane ride. These guys are just dead. They, you know, they sleep, and then we got the selection show. And I think right after that, I'm not saying that like guys really kind of lost the hype, but it was more of like, okay, like, we just did that. I think it's time to turn the page now. We got a lot of things, a lot of teams that we haven't never seen before that we're probably gonna have to play. You know, I think our whole thing was, our team was picked last in the Pac-12 this year in the preseason. We were picked 12th. And I remember doing the preseason interviews with the coach and the players. We did in like our COVID space room. All of them were asked the same question, like, what do you guys think about that? And I think they all kind of shrugged it off, like, it really doesn't matter until, you know, the end of the season. That's when you determine what you are ranked. So I think them having that mindset at the beginning of the season, coming into it, like I said, we weren't, you know, necessarily planning to win the Pac-12 championship, but I think just leaving that no doubt and that, you know, we were picked here. But I think, you know, our guys had that attitude through this whole season where they didn't really care what anyone else thought. And I think that definitely helped. But, you know, when you get to that tournament and you're facing teams you've never seen before, you know, a lot bigger teams, a lot more athletic teams, I think our guys kind of had to realize, like, we kind of got to hone ourselves back in if we want to stay here any longer.
You mentioned the COVID space room. We haven't really touched on the COVID part of this. Is, let's all talk about the having to create in a time period that has never really happened in any of our lifetimes and may never happen again, but who knows? 2020 and 2021 has a lot of surprises. Linnea, I'll start with you. Is creating content and material in this time period that the world is going through?
Yeah, I think a lot of the conversation around COVID usually, you know, centers around what athletes and coaches are going through, which, like, don't get me wrong, that's should be the forefront of the conversation in the sports world. But a lot of the time, everything that the creatives go through doesn't really get discussed. So I'm glad that we're bringing this up here. You know, I have mentioned before, I didn't travel to the bubble, which that in itself is a COVID change, right? Like, you mentioned, you know, the last time we played a tournament game, Indiana women's basketball went out to Oregon and played, and I traveled with them. This time I wasn't able to be on the travel party just because of, you know, COVID related restrictions. So we've had a lot of things that we kind of need to work around, right? Like, we were able to send people who were tier one all season long, and then they were able to create and get content and send it back to those of us who were in other tiers. We created and put it out, right? So it's kind of forced us to be a little bit more resourceful or strategic about how we're delivering content. You know, in my position, we've really this year put a huge emphasis on student athlete driven related content. So I'll probably talk more about this later, but our partnership with Open Doors, like, it's exploded this year. You know, we're not only trying to just create content during a pandemic, but we're trying to ready for NIL changes that are on the horizon and coming. And so while you're trying to create or strategize content that centers around athletes and you're not really able to be around the athletes, it's an added challenge, right? And so we've just had to be more strategic and creative than we have ever before while regularly getting, you know, COVID tests and making sure that we're clean and wearing masks and, you know, trying to limit the amount of space between us and athletes. And so I'm sure you guys are all, you know, you guys are nodding your heads in agreement and you're all going to touch on this, but it's just made things even more complicated, but it also shows the resiliency of our staff and our team and creatives in the ability to still kind of churn out product and content while kind of jumping over all these hurdles.
So I don't want to, you know, speak for you, but you're saying that there are some things that you liked about, you know, being able to stretch your abilities, but there's nothing like being there in the moment, being able to, you know, create it yourself.
Right. So
you wouldn't change that.
That's right. I'm proud of the way that we've kind of adapted and made changes and still made it work and happen, but I'm ready for this to be done. I'm ready to go back to normal.
All right. Johnny, you want to speak on that?
Yeah, I think kind of the same thing. I think it's obviously very tough on the teams because they already have to do so much, and just adding this extra things, you know, the guys have to go through plus school, plus their sport. I mean, it was probably hard for them to realize, but I think across the country, athletic departments and their creative or media departments probably got hit very hard through this. And just like I was kind of told at the beginning of this, you know, anything we can come up with and anything we can put out is better than what we didn't. So I think just kind of taking that into mindset of like, whether we can do the shoot how we wanted to or not, as long as we can figure out a way to do it, I think that's the best way to get content out. Like, if they're going to have to wear a mask while they do it, they're going to have to wear a mask while they do it, and we'll figure out the audio issues later. Like, I think just adapting to things and making sure that no matter what, we were still consistently trying to get stuff out and not trying to take the whole COVID thing. Okay, well, we can only do the interview if it's 6 feet apart. Let's not even do it. And I think just kind of adapting to those and almost embracing them to be like, okay, well, if we have to do it like this, we'll just shoot it completely different. And I think something that I learned through this is that, especially, you know, creative media and anything video producing, adapt and change is, you know, it's life or death almost. If you don't do it, you know, your product's not going to be the same. You're not going to be able to get it out as how you want to. So I think it was a good lesson for all creatives, but I think, you know, everyone is kind of ready to get in and be able to get that access again and have the players, you know, so they can be with the fans again. And other than that, you know, just like I said, just super grateful to still be at Oregon State and still being able to do content with all the teams and stuff like that. But yeah, I think, you know, adapt and change was huge this year.
Yeah. I think Johnny nailed on the head there by saying adapt and change. I think COVID just kind of, I think it beat down on everyone. I think no matter where, creatives, even personal lives, I think it got on everyone. And the players, I feel a lot for, especially following the regimen that probably every university is different in terms of how they want to treat COVID. But for players that aren't in state, I felt really bad for, because a lot of them, they're having to stay local, stay tested to stay with the teams for traveling. They're not able to see their families a whole lot. I wouldn't be surprised if for some players, they got in the fall, and then the last time they probably saw their family was for Christmas or for the holiday season. So you go months at a time without seeing family, you're in contact with them, then you see them for maybe 4 or 5 days max, and then you're back to playing. You got your conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments, if you make a long run. You're looking at 8-9 months that these kids are away from their families. And for us as creatives, we try to be there to help capture moments. But at the same time, we also have to step back and realize too that there's still people that you don't want to put a camera sometimes in their face all the time. And I feel bad sometimes when you have to have those moments. But the stress that I think has been put on players, on staffs, on everyone due to COVID, I think is immeasurable to anyone. And it stinks. There's a lot of good creatives out there that have lost jobs. There's even a lot of student athletes that have probably even had to transfer home because they can't keep up with it. So it was very tough this year, and especially going into the NCAA tournament, having to provide so many consecutive tests to make sure, like, hey, this is just to get into the travel party. This isn't even like once you're actually there, just to be able to say, like, all right, I'm good this day, I'm good this day, I'm good this day. And then you're finally traveling, and then you're taking more tests over and over. It's crazy the amount of hoops that we have to go through, but it's to make sure that everyone's safe. You want to make sure that all these can happen, because we saw what happened a year ago, that all of our lives just kind of were like gone for a bit, and we've never experienced that. So it's definitely been a year that will not be easily forgotten for a lot of creatives across the nation.
Yeah, those are all great points. I think for me, this pandemic has really, in terms of content, it's given a purpose to every video that I put out. And since we didn't have fans for like the first, I mean, we had like, family members only for about, I think, the first 10 games. And so, you know, shooting in an empty stadium when you're used to a packed house, it just felt wrong. It just didn't feel complete and right. So it just, you know, how do I make this, how do I fill this void of an empty stadium when, you know, we're up, you know, 15, but no one's screaming. And so that's when you have to go into the locker room and find other ways to get access, to keep fans engaged and see like behind the scenes as to, you know, what coaches are telling their players, how to stay process focused and, telling them to continue to stick together, be a team, stuff like that. I also believe that for us at D2 at Northwest, our coaches recruit locally just so that family members can have the opportunity to come down. So they're not, you know, I think the max that they have to drive is like 2 hours, because they'll recruit from like Nebraska and, you know, KC, Omaha, all that stuff. So that wasn't really a problem for our players to see their families. It's just everything that happened off the court was super tough for them. Getting tested 3 times a week, which I was in jeopardy of almost not getting to go to the tournament because I wasn't aware that we had to get tested 3 times a week. I got tested like twice in one day just to make sure that I was clear. And, you know, thank God everything turned out the way it did. But, yeah, so I honestly don't know what it would be like to film in a normal setting because I've never had that experience before. This is all I've known. So, you know, next season when they allow fans back in and I can get those cutaway shots of fans and cheerleaders and stuff, it'll be new for me too. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, it's a different ball game. I couldn't have even imagined like covering sports this year, like in a college or professional setting, with all the restrictions. So before we jump back into the tournament and the bubbles, the respective places, what were your favorite memories of this season having to cover teams the way that you did in a, you know, not so normal way? And either one of you can start this.
I'll go. Winning, you know, we made it to the Elite Eight. We went the furthest in the modern era of the women's tournament. We went the furthest we've ever gone as a program. You know, it was a record-setting year for the Hoosiers. So, I mean, that's easy. And I think, you know, I talked a little bit about Open Doors and the way that we're kind of delivering content, student-athletes first. And I think in spite of, you know, all the COVID-related challenges, the fact that we were winning and the fact that our student-athletes were kind of more intentional about content delivery and posting and owning their message and, you know, building their brand, so to speak, that, I mean, it changed the way that we were kind of creating content, but I think it made it more fun. You know, like we were intentionally, you know, working with them to deliver content that they wanted to see, that they wanted to help push out. So just winning helped kind of build that strategy. I don't know what we would have done if we would have lost and had COVID and be like, well, you know, what's going on? So winning fixes everything.
Yeah, we'll wrap up with and touch on that about how things were different and how we can kind of use some of those things moving forward as we hopefully progress out of the pandemic. But Darren, we'll let you go next.
Yeah, I was going to say, in relatively speaking, I think this was probably the toughest year, at least for me on the creative side, because I had a lot more mental roadblocks to kind of get through and trying to figure out what you can do from the safety, just with COVID stuff going on, between the amount of travel everyone's having to do, juggling media requests. But I think kind of back to what Lene said, it's just the winning, like there's no feeling of replacing the NCAA tournament, no matter how far you go or not. For me, not only just for the team, but the Elite Eight, that's the furthest I'd ever been either up to this point in my career. So to even get to that point, I was just like, okay, so this is what it kind of feels like. It's a kind of, there's an energy around it that you just, there's nothing that you can replicate besides maybe college football playoff, probably, like if you were to experience that. But the NCAA tournament, no matter what sport it's in, whether it be men's and women's basketball to the College World Series for baseball, softball, wrestling, anything, like the NCAA tournament, just that name alone, no matter the feelings towards that, those first four letters, there's an energy around it that just cannot be matched, besides maybe a big time rivalry game, maybe like a Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma. Like those things are, they stand their own test of time, because you can't replicate that. It happens once a year, and once it's gone for that year. So I think getting to experience the NCAA tournament after so many years and then see the team progress the way that it did, it was unmatched. And sometimes the best things that we can do creatively is just capture those things that were in the essence. And that's how we were able to kind of execute on that.
How many times did you almost get lost in the moment and have to remind yourself to actually create?
Not too many. I mean, the only time I ever got lost in the moment was probably running onto the court after we had beaten Maryland. And I was trying to get the immediate reaction shots of the players screaming and all that, and noticed I was shooting in slow-mo and I had no audio for like the first 30 seconds. So then I had to quickly punch back out of that and then kept going. But then I just kept it rolling at that point. So that was maybe the one time that I was just kind of like, hey, I'm just trying to go capture the moment without realizing, hey, ground yourself real quick.
That means you had the wrong camera, Darren. You know, we didn't do that.
No. We'll talk about that off scene. But no, I think that was probably the only time that ever really that like I kind of was lost in the moment. Beyond that, it's just you kind of you're appreciative because again, a year ago, we all just kind of dropped what we were doing and weren't able to cover the sports that we did. So yeah, we beat Maryland and yeah, I was probably up till 3 a.m. working on getting highlights done or getting stuff up for local media back in Austin. But it's like you relish those because again, we dropped it and we never got to experience that again for a while. So you kind of, you take that for granted and be like, all right, things are kind of back to where they need to be.
What about you guys, Johnny and Dylan?
Yeah. I mean, like they said, winning obviously helps everything. I think big thing for me, that was, you know, throughout the whole basketball season, I didn't have, you know, floor access or anything. We were filming from the stands, basically. I, you know, basically changed my whole setup of shooting, you know, shoot the 70 to 200 from stands, find the best spots I could get where I can get the players and also film. So I think, you know, lucky enough being able to travel to team, be tier one so I can get that floor access. It was a little bit different. When those big moments happened, I wasn't necessarily used to it. After filming in the stands, it's a little bit more relaxed. You get to sit there and obviously capture a lot more things at a bigger scale. But I think that Pac-12 championship, when we won, just kind of getting out on the court. And at first I didn't really realize until I would say all the players left, but that I was the only content creator period on the court with a video and photo camera, getting them both. And I think that's something that hit me where I was like, that's the first time we've ever won that tournament in school history. And I was the only person on the floor to be able to capture it. It was kind of mind blowing, but pretty cool, I guess. Super humbling to just know that they trust me enough to be on the floor doing both at once, making sure we got enough content, both video and pictures. But other than that, I think just like getting that access and getting to experience what these players went through this tournament was also something, you know, it was hard at times, but it was pretty cool. Cause like, hopefully we never have to go through something like this again. And I think it was just a cool experience to be in the bubble with them, seeing how they were adjusting to it and kind of, you know, how they got everything done. But like I said, you know, winning makes everything way better for content, for attitudes and all that. So.
Mine is like the exact same that Johnny said, just being appreciative of the opportunity and, realizing that you're the only one getting that access. And so it's kind of like, it's nerve wracking because if you miss it, it's gone. You're not getting that again. So it was, I had a videographer tell me, he was just like, this was like months before, he was just, whenever you celebrate on the court, just keep it rolling. Don't stop. Make sure you got enough space on the card. Make sure you got a fresh battery going because you don't need anything going wrong. So, and that's what I did. As soon as it was solidified, I put a new card in, fresh battery, and I was like, all right, let's go run. But just having the players be appreciative, knowing that you're up at 5 a.m, making content for them. And then when they see it and they're just, you know, just as geeked as you are, because they know that it's them and it's your best. And shout out to the coaches, because I never thought I had this opportunity. I basically begged the coach, just give me a chance. Like, that's all I need, one chance. And he gave it to me. And I just hope I didn't disappoint this season.
You know, I'm listening to all of you talk about the late nights, the 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. I do not miss that. I do miss, you know, being around in those moments. But, you know, I watched the Texas and Maryland game the other night. And after that game was over, I was, you know, celebrating and able to just go to sleep. So I do not, I do not envy the, you know, the work after the work. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand about being a creative in those moments. The NCAA tournament, or if you ever get a chance to go on those basketball foreign trips, it's like, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see it. And it's fun to see the end product, but what goes into that, a lot of people may not see or understand the hours that go into making that stuff happen. One last quick question. What is one thing that you enjoyed about the single location of the tournament?
I guess I'll jump in and say, I guess the not having...
It's not fair for you to do it because you didn't have to travel that much.
I didn't have to travel, but at the same time, I would say too, I mean, I don't want to speak for other women's basketball programs, but to be able to, no matter how, like, even for like the UConn's, Arizona, Stanford, and, oh God, I'm missing the last team. I should not be missing this last team. But to make it this far,
UConn, Arizona, Stanford, USC.
USC, that's it. I should have known that. They beat us.
Yeah.
But for teams like that, though, where you can win and you get to stay in the same area and you're not having to worry, at least on like on women's basketball, where it was host sites between schools, then you're having to fly to another spot to fly to another spot. It makes it a lot easier that all travel is just condensed down. You're all in one area. The only thing that was different on our end was that all the women's basketball teams were spread out to the different hotels. And then once it got down to the Sweet 16, they moved all the teams into one hotel. So that way they kind of get everyone in one area, keep everyone grouped around. So it's kind of like the NBA stories you hear where it's like y'all, like the teams would go and play someone and all of a sudden they're hanging out by the pool after they just got beat. So it's like, you're crossing by your teams as you're going for COVID testing, as you're crossing the path of the person you're going to face next, like the next day. It did help for travel in terms of like getting the team back as soon as you were done, able to get the players back, get them iced down or do what they need to, at least on the women's side. I can't speak for like Johnny and them on the men, but I think the one host site for us, we were really fortunate just because we were in state, but it did help to a degree that like, hey, everyone's all in one area. It's easier to get everyone kind of figured out and whatever problems they need to get fixed. But yeah, it was definitely its own little college basketball town for a little bit.
I'm sure you didn't miss the prison food that was being served.
That was, I have no comment on that. Cause I guess we were very fortunate that we were getting food ordered. So we never really had to experience that. Like there was some hotels, they had to provide a certain amount of food per the NCAA. But for the most part, we were very fortunate that we were getting food ordered. So I was probably eating better during the NCAA trip than I was at home during like a normal basketball season. Because I was like,
saying that Texas feeds you badly.
No, I'm just saying I can't remember the last
getting into the controversy now.
No, I'm getting more into that. I am terrible at eating three meals a day. I am just eating to survive a season.
Yeah. You want to jump in, Johnny?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we had to travel quite a bit, but I guess like something that really helped me out, I guess, in the post workflow. I mean, especially in Las Vegas, like we stayed at the hotel right across the stadium from the T-Mobile Arena. So as soon as we won those games, I was in the locker room, imported my last card, and then I would pick up myself and sprint to the hotel. And I was just there. I knew where we were going to be in the morning. I knew I didn't have to get up and leave and hop on a plane like a normal away trip would be. We didn't have to hop on a bus and go to another stadium. So I mean, the fact that like I could get out of the locker room and be back to my hotel room in 15 minutes and editing within an hour after the game, like that was huge for me. But I guess just the one thing about the central location, I guess, was the schedule, you know, knowing you're waking up and if you win, you're staying in the same spot. You're going to breakfast at the same time, in that like stress of not knowing what's going to happen after. You know, in a normal year, you're on road trips and it's like, all right, you know, we're in Stanford right now. Like we win. Okay. Are we going to Berkeley in, you know, the next morning, or are we leaving in the afternoon because we can't get in the hotel? So I think just knowing where I had to be and all that stuff, and I could be like, all right, I'm going to edit, you know, till 2 o'clock in the morning, wake up at 7, finish it, send it out. I think that was just huge for me. Just knowing that I could be in the same spot and didn't have to pick up my stuff, pack all my camera bag again, hop on a bus and go somewhere was just, huge for the post workflow.
Dylan?
I would say being in one location helped for preparation in terms of camera work. I knew which locker room we'd be in, what tunnel they were coming in out of. So knowing that ahead of time, while they're in shoot around for 20 minutes, I'm walking around the arena saying, okay, shooting from here, I can get this shot, you know, pregame when the fire's coming up, I'm going to be standing here. Just having those mental notes and mental check marks on the floor where I'll be standing, because we'll be here for a week. The only thing that's going to change is what side we'll be starting off on. So, and then what Johnny said, just being like literally not even 2 minutes across the street from the arena is super dope. I never thought that I'd be able to just pick up everything, walk across the street, and then go edit, and it'd make everything a lot easier. I wouldn't have to wait to get content out or to make graphics. It was just all there because, you know, time is key in times like this. So, yeah.
And Linnea, for you, what do you think with it being a single, well, it's in your backyard in Indiana. Well, no, you covered the women's tournament. So was it faster with the lack of travel of getting stuff back to you?
Yeah, I definitely think it helped, you know, with the sharing of files. You know, our photographer, our stand-in photographer and our stand-in videographer didn't really have to worry about, you know, picking up their computers and running out of the arena. I think that, you know, made it easier for them to kind of share stuff with us. You know, when I was, prior to being in Indiana, I was at North Carolina, and we had hosted, you know, we were one of the sites that was able to kind of host part of the women's tournament. And I just feel like knowing that experience and then knowing, you know, how this year went and some of the things that our team experienced, the one site was just more convenient, basically. So,
yeah. Well, don't want to hold you all too long. I know that it's been a long season. It's probably been a long week for some of you all. But before we go, I have to ask, who are you picking to win each of the championships? We'll start with you, Linnea. You look like you already have your winners picked out. I know who you're not picking.
Well, my men's team got knocked out yesterday. So I got a new men's team. Michigan? Yeah, now I'm going to go for UCLA. Why not? And then on the women's side, I'm going South Carolina. Go Dawn Staley.
Darren, since South Carolina was the team to knock you out and that's our pick, I will go with you next.
Yeah, and I would actually, I'm going to stay on that train and say South Carolina, even though they knocked us out. It's a heck of a team, and rooting for Dawn on that one. The men's side is a coin flip. I'm probably leaning more towards on Gonzaga. I love the quote unquote mid-major teams that can go in there and just run the gauntlet, and just kind of show like, hey, they deserve to be there. So, that, and I just can't root for Baylor, unfortunately. So, I have to go with Zaga on that one.
I think at this point, Gonzaga is no longer a mid-major team. They have proven to be very competitive against, you know, stout competition, stout conferences. So no longer can call them a mid-major. Dylan, who you got in both of these tournaments?
For the women, I'm going South Carolina as well. I'm a huge Dawn Staley fan. Watched her WNBA and her motivational speeches, I just have a folder of them on YouTube that I just watched throughout the week. They're just crazy. And then for the men's, I'm going Gonzaga. I just think that they have a complete team. They've got about 3-4 guys that can give you 20 each. I don't think you can stop all of them in one night. So good luck to both of them.
All right, Johnny, you got the hot seat. Who you got to bring it on home?
I think with how our season went and with like how we're Pac-12 basketball is at right now, our whole thing has been, you know, back the pack. So I'm going to go with our guys down at UCLA for the men's tournament. And then I'm going to take, I guess, a slight underdog and go with Arizona in the women's just to see if Pac-12 can bring some hardware home this year. But I think it's either way. I think there's been some incredible teams this year for what they've had to go through. And just whoever wins it, I mean, they've won a lot more than the championship this year. They won the COVID year. So I think it's just awesome either way.
Awesome. Well, we really do appreciate all of you taking the time after this long season to give us some insights on how it was to create not only during the COVID year, but during the COVID NCAA single location tournament. So thank you all. Keep doing great work. And until next time.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.